What's up, everybody? This is Ricardo Rodriguez.
And Matthew Messick.
And this is
the Profits Over Wages Podcast. Welcome to episode 2 of the Profits Over Wages Podcast. Our guest today is George El Guapo Cuevas. He's a former realtor and now trains realtors on how to market their brand and listings online. He's also a real estate photographer, videographer, blogger, author, speaker, and host of his own podcast, The Margaritas and Real Estate Marketing Show.
In today's episode, we talk about how to spot real estate marketing trends and buyer behavior patterns, building a brand as a broker, and how new technologies like virtual staging and Matterport. Enjoy the show.
So, you know, I've been excited for a while to have you on the podcast because I'm a huge fan, not only of your photography, but like since the first time we met, you came and spoke at our event, the Chicago Real Estate Mastermind Group. And we got a lot of feedback that time when you came and spoke about kind of like we were saying before here, like a lot of brokers don't really know how to market the properties. And I got a lot of feedback. From people saying, oh shit, I've never heard that before. So I kind of just, you know, before we kind of get started more into the podcast, I wanted to ask you like how you made that transition or why you made that transition from being a real estate agent to being, you know, a real estate marketer and kind of going back and teaching agents how to market that correct way.
Yeah. Well, you know, and thanks for having me on your show. This is really awesome. I've only been on one or two other podcasts before. You know, I got my own. So it's, I love doing this part of it. But I guess when it comes to like how I started doing this was that I was a real estate agent and I was a managing broker of an office. And I got into real estate after I got out of the Army, came back home. A lot of veterans, you kind of like don't know what to do next as a civilian. And so I spent about a year trying to figure that out. And I kind of fell on real estate. And the year was like 2007, 2008, right before the crash. And it was in September, I think it's 2007, maybe 2008, but it's right when the crash was about to go down and George Bush gets on TV and says, this is like in the last months of his presidency, we're gonna have to bail out the banks and go through this huge bailout if we want to save basically the world, because the whole financial world was about to collapse on itself. Right. And so when I heard that, I was at home and I was watching that on TV, and then I knew that that's when we had to go into real estate. So like I knew like there's going to be, this whole industry is about to be turned upside down, and that means for me, that meant there's gonna be a lot of opportunity here.
Getting in from the ground up, essentially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, everything was the whole for real estate agents, for brokerages, for investors, for everyone that was in the business up until that point, their whole world was about to turn upside down. And whenever you have turmoil like that, that's where the opportunities are always lying at. So that's when I like said, okay, I'm doing this. I got my license, and then you know, when I told everybody what I was doing. And you know, after Bush gave that thing there, for the months leading up and then right into the election season, that's when we really saw the foreclosure crisis. It started taking this life of its own, where we just started seeing record foreclosures every month coming, and we saw property values dropping for like 2 years after that. You know, so a lot of people would come up to me and they'll say, "Oh my God, George, like, are you sure? Is this PTSD? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, like, you know,
are
why
you sure are you want to get into real estate right now?"
They're thinking that was crazy, you know, because people would literally put their hands on my shoulder and be like, "Are you okay?" And but the fact of the matter is that we got right into short sales and foreclosures right at the beginning, and because that's where we saw the opportunity. And I didn't know anything about real estate in terms of foreclosures or short sales, but we taught ourselves. We built a team. And during the 2000, from 2008 to about 2011, we closed about 2,000 short sales, and we did about 500 REOs. And so we did like a shit ton. Can I swear?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
We did a shit ton of inventory and turning properties over. And and I think we did it the right way. We were always really good with the sellers, because if you represent a seller on a short sale, they're going through a very stressful time in their life. Their whole life is being turned upside down.
Yeah, I know a few people that went through that. And it's, one of my aunts went through that, and we didn't hear from her for maybe a year or two. I mean, even after the short sale went through and that whole thing got over, it's just something that most people don't really want to talk about.
Yeah, it destroys families and stuff. So you have to put an extra level of care to those homeowners because of that. They need more help. I mean, I've had times where I have to pay for the movers to get out, for them to get out of the house, you know, because they literally didn't have the means to do that. So we did that. And from the very first day we started doing short sales and REOs, I knew that this wasn't going to last forever. I knew that there was going to be a time when this foreclosure crisis was going to bottom out. And then once we bottom out, that's when we would start rising out of it. So I studied the market every day. I read every quarter, the Federal Reserve comes out with quarterly reports from every Federal Reserve bank or district or whatever. And I would read those quarterly reports because they had a real estate section in there. And in that real estate section, they would say, this is what's going on in the St. Louis region, and this is what's going on in this region. And they would talk about, you know, what's going on with inventories and sales numbers and that. And then I would look at states and cities and look at their list pendants and foreclosure rates. And I would follow that. And what I was looking for was I was calculating all this data and waiting to see a trend. And a trend starts with 6 months of something happening in a row. And we first started seeing Southern California and Phoenix start to turn first. Those markets flattened out. And when they flattened out and we saw the very first price appreciations in those markets, then that's when I knew that shit's starting over there. It's just a matter of time till that shit starts over here.
When did that happen? Do you remember?
That's in that 2011, 2012 ish. I remember correctly. It's somewhere in there, maybe 2013. But yeah, it's right around that time period when we first started to see the first signs of recovery. And like I said, I waited for 6 months. When I started seeing list pendants rates drop, and I started seeing like sales activity actually never really slowed down during the foreclosure crisis because there were a lot of people buying up all these foreclosures, but
smart people,
right? Smart were people that just weren't affected by it and didn't lose everything in the crash. So as soon as that started happening, then that's when I started focusing on, okay, what's the next thing? You know, like where are we going to put ourselves so that we don't end up out of business when short sales end? And to me, what happened is I thought it was going to be marketing. How buyers and sellers buy and sell homes, how they find homes, has completely changed since 2007, 2008. It's a complete turnaround. It's an upside down, as big as an upside down as it was when the real estate market changed in 2007, 8 from like anything could sell if you had a social security number to nothing would sell unless you had cash or like super duper 900 credit score type stuff. And so like I saw that it was marketing was where we had to be. And more specifically, it was listings marketing. I knew that once the foreclosure crisis, once we were going to get out of that, it was going to be listings was going to be key, which has always been the predominant thing that most agents want. Listings are the key to growing your business as an agent. And so we focus on listings. And as we got into that, we realized that buyers were no longer going to the realtor to find the property.
Yeah, they're looking online.
Mm-hmm. They're going online. And we saw this happening all the time. We were finding our buyers find their own listings. And at first, you kind of
call you, hey, I'm interested in this house. Can you take me?
Yeah.
Off of Redfin.
Yeah, that's what was happening. And at first, I kind of felt, and all of us, I think all realtors at first kind of felt like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are you going to Trulia or Zillow or Redfin or one of these other websites, and why are you not going to my data? And as soon as I started talking to our clients, and this is part of what you do in marketing, is you it's all behaviors. And so we started following what our buyers were doing, what our sellers were doing, and I started asking more questions, and it became really clear to me that everything was shifting online. So then that's the moment. And that, I guess if you round this whole thing up, I knew that we had the pivot point again. And then that's when we started to create what we're going to get into now is the listings marketing plan.
Right, because if people are looking at listings online, you have to present them in a way that's like it pops, that they feel like they have to go see it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where, you know, when you started doing photography and videos. And
Yeah. Well, what we found is that we say that the first showing takes place online, whereas before the first showing took place at the showing, at the listing, at the actual house. And so, like, what you're saying is that I didn't do photography work or even make a video before, but I started seeing that if the people were going to find it online, we had to present the property visually, and we had to stimulate them to see in these properties so that it would encourage them to come see it. Similar to online dating.
Right.
so like in online dating, we put our, like, oh, I'm not.
Right. You got to put your best.
You put your best picture.
First, you know, your first Tinder picture or Bumble picture has got to be your best.
That's
one.
Your best picture. Right.
Best picture you ever took.
But then if you but it works reverse too. If you put a picture, like if I were to put a picture of when I got run up, right when I got out of the Army, when I was in the best shape of my life, and obviously, like, I'm not at that shape right now, but if I was, I'm not single now, but if I was single and I put an Army picture in there and I'm not in the Army anymore, like 40 pounds heavier, like that, and then you go meet the person, you know, that date may has a really good chance of not getting very far.
Trust me, that still happens now.
So,
no, but I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. It needs to be presented well.
It needs to be presented well, and so,
like, accurately.
Right.
And I mean, to be honest, dude, I'm still seeing, even today,
cell phone pictures.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
Bad ones.
Happens every day.
Not even like just a cell phone picture, but an iPhone or an Android phone with a cheap, like, fisheye lens attached to it, yeah. And it's just bad lighting. You can't even tell. Like, I mean, it's. I'm still seeing that, and it's terrible. Yeah. So I kind of want to use that as a segue into, like, what it is that you're doing now, training, because you do trainings, right? You do public speaking. You train realtors on how to market their listings properly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do that now because there wasn't that kind of data or that kind of information. I just didn't see out there. So when we started to try to learn how to properly market a listing online, I tried to go find, you know, marketing classes, and I tried to go to the real estate associations and the MLSs and everything else to try to find training on this. And what I found was, like, I didn't see anyone really teaching it. I saw people kind of talking about it. I saw a lot of people selling stuff about it. So there's all sorts of systems and apps and technology that you could buy out there. But none of these were really practical solutions that solved that problem, which was you have to find a way to visually show these listings online and make sure that they're in the places that people can actually find them. So I did something at this point now. I started to get deep into it. When I found that there was nothing out there, then what I did is I spent about a year, and this is a part of my life that really sucked, but this is how into it I got. I moved back home to my parents' house, lived in the basement for a year because I told myself I'm not going to sell any real estate until I figure this thing out. And when I come out of this basement and all during all this time, I had a group of agents that were working under us. And what I did was that I just focused on their listings. And they were like my guinea pigs. Their listings were my guinea pigs in my laboratory. And for a year, we did is run experiments. So that's why I lived in my parents' house, because, like, I needed to save every dollar I could, because I was just trying to learn how to do this. Originally, I thought it'd only take like 6 months or something like that. I ended up spending about a year. But when we finished all the experiments, we started with the very first version of the listings marketing plan.
Nice.
What does that entail?
So the listings marketing plan, which I'll share with you guys, or I guess we're going to get into, is a very simple, straightforward, and practical approach to how I believe a real estate agent or a real estate investor should market their listing. And it doesn't involve buying software or pieces of technology. It's just using the tools that are available to anyone out there today and really putting a set of standard operating procedures into executing something that I believe works. And it's been, I think you guys have tried it. All my clients use it today. I have a lot of real estate investors that use it. And the best part about it is that it's an organic, fluid type of system. Things change in marketing, and especially in marketing today. Technology changes. And as these changes happen, we make changes to the marketing plan accordingly.
I feel like a lot of those things are obvious, though, like having really good pictures. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, they're obvious things. Yeah. Because, I mean, the way I see it is, actually, my girlfriend's looking for a place right now, and she looks she sends me Redfin links all the time. She doesn't even go to open houses. She doesn't even she doesn't even have a broker, and she's sending me links. Oh, hey, I like this house. Hey, look at the pictures on this one. So it's, to me, that's like an obvious thing for most people nowadays, where they sit in their living room and just look through Redfin all day.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It should be obvious, and that's the thing. Marketing doesn't have to be complicated. To me, and the world to me is white and black, you know, or Mexican and white. but everything is simple if you let it be simple. And in marketing, this listing's marketing plan, or any kind of marketing plan you put together for a listing, doesn't have to be overly complicated. And sometimes it's just those simple things, and recognizing, like, okay, your girlfriend's looking for a house and she's going to Redfin. Well, that's a buyer behavior pattern. And so if you study 10 or 20 buyers and you see the actions that they're taking,
they're all doing but essentially the same thing.
Exactly, yeah. And that's how we formulate marketing around it. Because at the end of the day, if you want to sell a home quickly, you can sell a home without pictures. It happens every single day. Whether it's right or wrong, it's a whole other question, but every single day, listings sell with iPhone pictures. And the problem is that there's potential buyers that may pass up your property because of those iPhone pictures. And so, you know, visually showing off that property to as many people as possible that are in the market at this particular time that your listing hits the market, that's the game. That's what marketing is to create that awareness. So we're looking to take advantage of every opportunity when you have eyeballs on that listing. And sometimes you may get someone that's searching. And this happens a lot. Let's say you get sometimes with real estate investors, they want to get the property on market right now, like yesterday. They had me scheduled to go out there like on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And, you know, that was the earliest I can get out there. But they had the property on the market all that weekend and stuff. And, you know, nothing, they had no activity. They got the pictures on, and they did an open house the following weekend, and it sold, and then it just sold this last week, and they got a contract on it. Nice. But the problem is, though, is that every day and every week and every month that property sits on the market, you're accruing listing market time.
Not only that, but if you're, as an investor, you're paying, you know, at least, $100 a day when the house is just sitting there.
Right. Yeah, for the holding cost.
So now, this is where it gets kind of tricky. You every day counts, and so, if you have shitty pictures on there and just half-assed marketing, then what happens is that there's people that really might actually like that house, but if they can't see it online,
the presentation is just not done correctly. And like you said, I mean, when you see a listing that's been on the market for a while, and even if there's nothing wrong with it, it's a beautiful, perfect house. And it makes you wonder if there's something wrong with the house.
Yeah, and that's what all the buyers are doing.
So, I mean, in that scenario, would you suggest instead of, you know, forcing getting the listing up as soon as possible with bad pictures, hoping you can get, you know, find a buyer before you get the right pictures up, to even like wait 2 weeks and then put up like great pictures?
Yeah. Well, like, you definitely want to be pre-marketing the property, and we definitely get into that too. Like, you should be marketing a property all the way from the day construction starts. There should be some plan in place to start marketing that property. Because right now, pretty much anywhere in the country at the time we're recording this, there's tight inventory everywhere. So right now, everything really comes down to price. You know, like, because the banks, they're not allowing borrowers to really, you know, push up market prices, right? We're not seeing big increases in market prices. We're kind of seeing things not flatline, but we're not seeing the increases we saw a couple years ago in terms of pricing. So pricing still is a really crucial marketing factor, but that market time is going to have a diminishing that has to be fixed and stuff like that. So you got to keep the listing agent, whoever that is, and the photographer. They all have to be on standby and ready to get in there as soon as possible and stuff. But if it takes a day or two, then let that process happen, so that when you start marketing it fully, you go out the gate like presenting that property to everyone in that marketplace that's looking, and that's how you're going to maximize exposure. Because the best time to sell the house is always in the first 2 weeks. That's when you have the most eyeballs on the property, and so you want to make the most of that time.
That's also when you know if your property's priced correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if we don't get an offer within the first 2 weeks, we know that it's either like if it's being marketed correctly, like, you know, with pictures and video and everything. But if we don't get any bites within those first 2 weeks, it's obviously overpriced.
Yep. Yeah. And pricing is a factor to marketing. And yeah. And but you'll never get to that point. You know, like you'll get to that point quicker, rather, if you are marketing it correctly right from the beginning. So like, or putting bathroom towel bars up, you know, all those little details.
It's all about
matter.
Presentation. I mean, even when you go to the grocery store, right? If it's literally the same product, same price, you're going to pick the one that feels, you know, quote unquote, feels better to you just because it was presented in a better way, right?
Yeah, yeah, you absolutely are.
So, as you know, as far as, you know, talking about pre-marketing, because it, I kind of want to get into that a little bit, because, you know, as an investor, like, obviously the faster we sell the house, the better, since we're paying, you know, sometimes with hard money, you're paying $100, $150 a day.
Yeah.
How are you, like, what can you do to pre-market a property?
So,
because like, you're talking about, you know, starting to market, you know, as soon as the construction starts.
Yeah.
What would you say would be a good way to pre-market a property?
So one of the things, in marketing, a lot of things change. So up until about 6 months ago from us recording this, Zillow was one of the biggest things we used to use to pre-market a property. An agent used to be able to manually input a listing into Zillow, and because Zillow is the number one search available here in Illinois or in Northern Illinois with Chicago, they call it, it's a pre-marketing thing that you can enter that listing in there, right? Which is something that you all agents have to do. But we use the MLS as part of the way. Now on Zillow, we can still use Zillow, but whoever the listing agent's going to be on the property, that agent is going to have a premier agent account, which is something you have to pay for. So now that becomes a thing about pre-marketing on Zillow. So we still use Zillow, but not all agents have a premier agent account.
Like a premier agent account with Zillow?
Yeah, with Zillow, right. Because if you have a premier agent account, then they'll allow you to put a pre-marketed property on its platform, which is still valuable. But now the question that the investor is going to have is, does your agent, whoever you're using, do they have a premier agent account so that they can start pre-marketing your listing on that platform? And Zillow is going to be the one you want to use because Zillow is the number one most trafficked website.
It's still listed to this day, right?
Yeah. Zillow is like at 38 million hits per month they get on their estate, gets all their listings data from Zillow. And just like Trulia, because Trulia is owned by Zillow, Trulia gets all their listing data from Zillow.
So it sounds like you should be working with, like if you're an investor, you should be working with an agent that is, you know, premier agent through Zillow.
Yeah. I don't see how you cannot do it. And for me, I'm not a fan of Zillow, but it doesn't matter whether I like them or hate them or anything like that. It's just that they have the traffic.
Yeah, that's all that matters. If they got the traffic, you have to be on there.
Right.
I mean, are most agents have the premier account, or is that like a big cost to them? Or
it's a cost. So not all agents have it because basically you have to buy zip code ads through Zillow to have this so-called premier agent account. And so, for the listing agent, there's no doubt it's a cost of doing business, and it definitely sucks. So I think that's one thing to consider for a real estate investor as you're choosing your agent. I'm not saying that you drop an agent because they don't have one, but if you want to seriously pre-market a property, we don't have that many opportunities out there to pre-market a property online. Listings occur within the top 10 real estate search websites, and I'll give you those so you can put them in the show notes. But that's so then as a marketer and as a listing agent and as an investor, you want your property to be shown where the web traffic's at, where people are actually looking, because no one goes past page one of a Google or a Bing search. So it's whatever pops up in that first page, and most likely whatever pops up in the first 3 to 5 results that they're going to be
picking. I'll be honest, I cannot remember the last time I went to the second page on Google.
Yeah, it doesn't, unless you're looking for something that's really specific, you know, like maybe you're trying to learn like how to make your own coconut raisin bagels or something like that, you know, like something real specific. But yeah, no one goes past that. So Zillow gives us that kind of opportunity to get the property in the market. Now, so that's one part of it. Then the other part is traditional, more of a traditional route, which is signage. And signage is a big deal because we know that buyers today are still doing drive-bys. They're still driving through neighborhoods. They're looking for that property is for sale. It's traditional and old school, but it still works.
Yeah, right now we're putting a 4-foot-wide by 8-feet-tall sign in the front yard.
Yeah.
That's as big as you can go in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's giant.
Yeah, that's a perfect size
it's
for
giant.
A new construction.
And I've sat outside, you know, just on the phone sometimes, just in the car, and every person that walks by reads it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or every person that drives by looks at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it definitely works.
Yeah, and you have to let people know that it's for sale. And nothing does it better than a good old-fashioned, like a good sign, not an H-frame, but it's got, like, you know, if you can do like a big sign like that, or at least the very minimum, put a signpost on there with the sign. But yeah. You have to communicate it to the rest of the world that it's available.
So as far as working with agents, because you do public speaking gigs and you wrote a book on how to market, right, on this exact topic. What is it that you do different that when you go and speak, a lot of people don't kind of, it feels like a foreign language to them? Like, what is it that you teach them on how to market the properties correctly?
Well, we talk to get phone calls to come in to the brokerage because people were going into their phone book. But that doesn't happen anymore. Today, the agent now has to generate their own leads and if they want to be successful. And so that means the agent has to also become a marketer. And the problem that I see, at least in my opinion, is that when it comes to marketing, there's a lot of trainers and a lot of speakers and a lot of gurus and coaches and all this kind of stuff, but they're not really teaching you how to be better at marketing. What they're usually teaching you is a system. And it's going to be like, here, buy my Facebook marketing system and get 10 listings in the next 3 weeks if you do this, this, and this, and pay me $999.
And they're probably not even doing some of the marketing themselves.
No. Well, that's just the thing. Like, I always tell agents, like, the next time you want to buy a marketing system or buy into a coach or whatever, if it's a coach or whatever, and they're selling you Facebook, go to their Facebook page and see how they're marketing. And see, like, make the judgment call for yourself. Because in most cases, a lot of these guys, I don't see them doing anything on social media next event.
You do have it on your website.
I got it on my website. But
also an online presence.
It's an online presence, yeah.
Right.
If you're good, people come to you.
They come to you, yeah. They come to you so you can go talk. So I just don't see, like, people. I don't see anyone teaching agents how this works. And then when it comes to those numbers, those stats, usually when I'm in a classroom with agents and we're talking about listings marketing and I'm telling them that the top three websites in the world all belong to Zillow, basically, not Yahoo doesn't belong to Zillow, but all the listings on Yahoo's are Zillow's, most of them never heard that. Most of them still think that realtor.com is still at least number two, you know, and so
sometimes you search an address and the realtor.com link doesn't even come up until like the fifth result.
Yeah.
Either Zillow or Redfin is on top.
Right. So a lot of agents just, like, that information isn't being communicated out there. And so, and the same thing happens when it comes to pictures. When it comes to the pictures, it's an investment. Like, someone's got to pay for it, and usually it's got to be the agent. And unfortunately for a real estate agent, they don't get paid until that house closes. So they have a lot of time. Cool, that's fine. But the problem is that now you've got agents out there that believe that, well, listen, I don't have to offer, I'm trying to offer the most minimum amount of service that I can for my client. So so that kind of attitude is out there, you know.
That's the wrong way to go about it.
It's the wrong way to go about it. But, like, you know, like, you have to show agents the way. And so, like, the brokerages, even there's a lot of brokerages out there that they don't understand this stuff. And so it's not being taught, you know. And so, like, so my job when I go out there speaking and talking to agents is to show them how you build a brand and how you build your business by delivering a better quality service to your clients. And part of that is having an actual plan to sell the property.
Right. To be honest, like, when we, like, you know, as investors, when we're choosing an agent, we want them to have access to somebody who does videos, who does pictures.
Yeah.
Even now, who does Matterport.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And so, like, a lot of them, a lot of it comes down to money and the investment. And there's a lot of agents out there that, there's some agents that they believe it. And
it's like you took it off your website, too.
Yeah. Well, I bring the business into me because, like, when people see those photos, the ones that are serious about it, they're going to call the listing agent and be like, who took those pictures? Because I need pictures like that. And so like
who took these that you could actually see outside the window?
Yeah. So
that's honestly, that's probably the coolest thing that I've seen from your pictures. It's like you could actually see outside the window. And me and, you know, I've been into photos. I've been taking pictures for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's like when I see like beautifully done pictures and videos, it's just a huge plus for me.
Yeah. Because you have to show like in just in those window views, when someone's viewing that property online, they're in the hunt. You know, and so they're in search mode, and when they're in search mode, they're looking through a lot of properties, and they may be looking through properties on the way to work, when they're in the train, when they're driving,
or at work,
when they're in the bathroom, when they're making dinner for the kids. Like, they're searching on their time and they're going fast, and so you've got to grab their attention, and nothing grabs their attention more, because they're not going to realize for in real life your eyes can see past the window.
Right, it's not just going to be a huge, white, bright light.
And so the other problem on the real estate side is that we have realtors now that actually believe in photos, and they purchase it. They're buying photography work, right, from photographers all over. But there's a lot of real estate photographers out there that won't do that, just like the same problem. They won't put that extra work into creating a photo that gives you that kind of visual. They just drop the camera in the room and take a photo and put the flash on and that's it. But really, that the photo is not done. You've got to edit the photo and make it look a certain way.
Yeah, but that goes back to like, if you're giving the minimum value for the amount of money, you're not gonna get any referrals.
Right. Well, yeah.
It's just like when, you know, for us, like working with some contractors, right? Like, they just want to make us. Some just want to make as much money on one project.
Yeah.
You know, that one time.
Right.
They're not looking at it as like, oh shit, if I give them a good price and a good job, they might give me 5 more jobs. So I want
to. As an investor, you know, you're trying to align yourself with good contractors, good attorneys, good all these strategic partnerships that you need. And real estate agents have to do the same thing. And so, like, part of like what I do is like I have to educate real estate agents on what actually is a good photo, because there's like what the kind of stuff I do, there's like the kind of stuff I do is regarded as high end, you know, or I'm doing the quotes like high end or only for luxury listings. But really, like, every house deserves to have really good photos of it, you know, whether it's a $55,000 condo or a $500,000 single family.
This might be a little nerdy on like the photography side, just because I'm really into it, but how do you get the view outside of the pictures when you take them? Is it photoshopped?
Yeah.
Or is it like, do you do like a HDR type where you take like multiple exposures? And
you have to point the flash directly into the windows. You have to then turn your shutter speed up to 125, bring your ISO to about 400. I usually go full power with the flash, and I put a photo. Then you got to take that photo you edited, and you got to take the photo that you took the window shot of. You take both those photos into Photoshop, and you just take out the old window that's whited out because it's been blown out, and you replace it with that window that you took.
So it's honestly, it's
takes time.
Not that much. Like, speaking, it's really not. Like, you're not going way out of your way to do that. But it's just that little bit that makes your pictures stand out that mm-hmm. much more.
It's the same way, like, if you're rehabbing and you've got a wall between the family room and the dining room, and you know you got to take it down because you got to open that thing up.
Yeah, but then you got to redo the draw. You know, you got to knock it down, reroute maybe the HVAC, the electric, mm-hmm. and
But the right thing in most cases is to tear down that wall. So, like, you know, because, you know, everyone wants open floor plans. So, like, most a lot of the times you guys are tearing down walls. And but you're doing that because if you're just gonna gut it but leave all the walls exactly where they were before and re-drywall everything and all that stuff, most likely that layout from 1954 isn't a layout that's gonna work for a family in 2000 level of service that they're gonna offer you. Now, you can definitely sell a house without all that service, but you know what makes you know what that's the difference between an agent who's serious about building a business that, you know, produces referrals and grows year after year, and an agent who's just constantly struggling because they're doing the bare minimum, so they're not really offering anything special.
I mean, it's really about just not cutting corners and taking that extra step to get the most value possible and get the top dollar amount. Mm-hmm. And then you just, it's just a small investment, because then you build and build and, you know, build that relationship.
Yeah.
And you get more clients and more jobs from, you know, because, you know, investors aren't like, you know, one-time home buyers. You know, we do repeat business. So we have a realtor that does good for us, we're going to use them over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's just, but I feel like a lot of people just kind of look past that, and they're just, like we were saying, people just want to make a lot of money with the least amount of value on like one house and then move on to the next one instead of building that relationship. And they're missing like a, you know, a good segment of the market by doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, trading a quick buck for, you know, maybe a lifetime relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. So exactly. So, you know, I think like Gary Vaynerchuk says, you know, I think events for free, and I do a lot that are paid, but those free ones I do, there's no money in it. You know, it takes a lot of time, and that's time that I could be spending with my girlfriend or working or doing something else. But you're looking for ways to deliver value so you can build relationships.
I mean, it's the same thing with us. We do property tours. We do case studies on some of the properties that we do, just to show people who are just getting started and how it is that we do things, and show them what's possible if you put a lot of time into it.
Yep.
We don't get paid.
Yeah.
Like at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we do get sponsors to pay for a lot of this stuff, but we also help those sponsors get their name out there, right?
Yep. So it's the same. It's the same kind of thing. So, like, when you're looking for the real estate agent, in a perfect world, you need to build one that you can build a relationship with, so that as your business grows, their business grows. And you want them to grow. You want them to be successful. You want them to make money. But you want ones that know how to reinvest into their business, reinvest into their professional skills, reinvest into their marketing, and then also builds relationships like one with their photographer.
Third.
And
all,
yeah.
And is pretty much all these.
Is that all you do?
No. It's kind of like, is that what you're pretty much focusing on now? Like, what's next for you, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to.
Is to get to every real estate agent in the country. So, like, we've been doing a lot of work with the Women's Council Realtors, and we're trying to help that organization grow. And, you know, my job is to basically get, you know, we've definitely gone outside Chicago to deliver this message. And so what we're trying to do is train every single real estate agent on how to do listings marketing, how to do Facebook, how to do all these things digitally, all the things that I was looking for when I was still an agent, but I couldn't find. And I just want to give agents like the opportunity to be able to get that training without any BS, without any upselling, without any $997 products or anything like that. Just good hardcore training. And I think, like, when it comes to the videos, the virtual tours and stuff like that, I want everyone to learn how I do virtual tours so that they can ever. So I think every office in the country should have a guy like me that's employed that is part of their. We have a Matterport, and we do those. Now, the Matterport is really just it's really only for the sellers. That for a buying tool, the Matterport's phenomenal technology, but it's ahead of itself. So, like, the part that's missing with Matterport is the way to actually view it. Matterport is virtual reality. But the problem is that in virtual reality is that we don't have a way to go through virtual reality.
It's just not there yet.
Yeah.
Maybe in 10, 15 years it might be there.
Yeah,
but
it's 5, 10, or 15 years. Like, we're not there yet. But for a listing agent, if you want to be serious about listings, it make homeowners love the idea of a 3D tour. Now, it does work if it's like an out-of-town buyer, an overseas buyer, which, you know, that happens sometimes. So if it's a buyer that physically just can't actually see the house, but they have to buy a house in that area, it works. But all these kind of tools, every brokerage should be doing them. The problem is, like, going back to the agents, whether it's the big box brokerages out there or mom and pops, the far majority of brokerages out there have no idea how to properly market a listing. And they're not a gift machine that you put on a tripod and it captures all the details of every room in a property, and it builds a 3D model of the property so that you could go through every room in this thing. You can do it on your computer or through a smartphone, you know, but using a mouse or on your smartphone, using your fingers. But it will show you a very vivid, very detailed account of every room, lets you spin around it and do do little whirlwinds, 360 whirlwinds through it. So it's really, really cool technology because you really can experience it. The problem is that when you're viewing it from a computer or from your phone, though, is that you have to press this little circle to get from one room to the other. And it's kind of like playing like a 1980s Atari game. It's just sort of slow and clunky, you know? But the visual part of it, it's very detailed.
It gives you a really good knowledge of what the layout feels without having to go to the house.
Yeah, it really does. So it's very cool technology. And see, these are all the things that are coming. I tell real estate agents and broker owners that, like, you know, I have this sort of line I took from Gary Vaynerchuk, was that, listen, people want to view the property online. So we have to give the potential buyer, the prospect, all the opportunities to be able to feel, view, and experience that property online.
Because it's all about convenience, right? I mean, I guess we're kind of talking about this, but, you know, as far as convenience goes, you know, Uber.
Yeah.
Postmates in Chicago. I don't know if they have it in the suburbs, but you could pretty much order anything.
Yeah.
Like, you could order a six-pack of beer from the liquor store at two blocks away if you wanted to.
Yeah. Well, we can get there's Amazon stuff comes the same day now for a lot of people. So, like, yeah, it's the same thing. People want to see it now, and they want to see as much as they can. We still have, there's a broker, I won't name the brokerage, but there's a brokerage here in Chicago, in the suburbs, that they actually, the broker owner, does not allow his agents to put like more than five pictures of a listing. And
how are you supposed to show the house?
This broker owner's rationale for that is that if we only give them a little preview of the property, it will force them to want to call us, deliver the experience. So as a real estate investor, your job is to, you know, find good partners in terms of real estate agents that are serious about making sure your property is being showcased. So, you know, all those features that you put into the house, all the lighting, the hardwood floors, the nice kitchens and the bathrooms you did, you know, you want really good visuals so someone can see the beautiful work that you've done and all the money you've invested into it, and they can see, like, they have to be able to see, like, wow, this place is really fixed up.
Yeah, the hours that I usually spend picking out the tile for, you know, just a half bathroom.
And to not show it online and to not show the property online or give people the opportunity to show it because you're using an iPhone for your pictures, you know, it's a wasted opportunity, I guess.
So I've noticed that you started doing a lot of virtual staging lately.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
So,
I mean, it's obviously a whole lot cheaper than paying for a staging company.
Yeah. So virtual staging is really interesting to me, and this is probably a really important rule of marketing. In marketing, you never know everything. So I always never seen virtual reality staged furniture or virtually staged furniture in a house. I'd never seen it done where it really enhanced the viewership online.
Yeah, the technology just wasn't there, or what was it?
I think maybe part of it was the technology wasn't there, but then also I think at a certain point I stopped looking into it. But
I mean, it's also like, what is Cameron waited to make Avatar 2 because the technology wasn't there, right?
Right,
so it's,
right.
Sometimes you just kind of have to wait.
You have to wait a little bit. And what I saw this last year, I have several clients that they started taking my photos and getting them virtually staged through. Like, there's several companies out there. And I saw the results they were getting from the virtually staged photos. And all my clients, one of the best things of what I do is that my clients are really open with me, telling me about their listings. You know, we geek out about this stuff. So they're telling me what's working, what's not working. They're telling me about what buyers are saying, what their homeowners are saying. And all this data, I'm taking in and processing it, and we're making adjustments in our marketing constantly. So the one of the biggest things that happened for us in 2017 was that I had three clients virtually staged. When I saw it work, and we saw it work several times, then we started experimenting. So over the summer, we virtually staged, I think, like 50 houses. So I invested, it's a lot of money we invested because it costs like $32 a picture. And we did it like five pictures per house. So however, I'm not good at math. So whatever that is.
It's like $160.
Yeah, per house or something like that. Yeah, so
which is not bad. I mean, we paid a few thousand dollars for staging alone. Yeah.
But we did it like on 50 houses.
Right.
So like whatever.
That's a lot of houses.
Yeah, it's a lot of. We spent a shit ton of money on it this summer, and we experimented the same way I experimented when we built the marketing plan. the listings marketing plan. And we saw the results, and then now that I've got the results and the results are positive, now I do encourage that. I think it's a really good opportunity. So here's what I tell real estate investors. If you have the budget for real furniture, real staging furniture, not the furniture from your living room, but real staging furniture, then do it. But if the budget isn't there, then you got two options. The first option is a half stage, half virtually, real stage it, not virtually stage it, but then go to your bedrooms and your basements and virtually stage those rooms.
Yeah, because when you're doing an open floor plan like we've been doing, a lot of the time it's very hard for people to see how an open floor plan comes together, right? Yeah, where really where's the couch going to be? Where's the dining room going to be? Yep. So, because there's no walls to separate room from room, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, what we've done in the past, we just stage living room, dining room, kitchen, maybe the breakfast area. And in the bedrooms, we do some minimal stuff. Yeah. But we don't do the basement. We don't do, like, the rooms that you don't necessarily have to do.
Yeah, so...
And that's why I like the idea of virtual staging.
Yeah, so it can be used as a hybrid approach.
Like, you don't have to do either or. You can, like you said, you could do half of one, half the other.
Yeah, we found good results when we do the hybrid approach. And then we've had some houses where there's just no budget for it. And so we virtually stage those. But what we do is, and when we virtually stage a room, so we'll take the family room. I always have the realtor, they'll put both photos, the photo without any furniture and the photo with the furniture in it.
Oh, so
side by side. Feeling
right, because they get an idea of how the room could be used or how where they can put their couch or their TV or what kind of couch is going to fit in that exact room.
Mm-hmm. And so it was visually stimulating, and then that way they knew that when they got to the house, they understood that there wasn't real furniture in it, you know. And so when we put those pictures side by side, and then the company that we're using, and this isn't a plug, like I don't get any money from them, this is the company I use for all my virtual staging now, is called boxbrownie.com. It's two Australian guys in
Box Brownie?
Yeah, Box Brownie. They're two Australian guys. One guy's a real estate photographer like myself. The other guy's a former real estate agent like myself too. But then they're just into this stuff. So I send all my work out to those guys. I don't make any money from referring them. I tell people about them because that's who I use, and I like to share the resources.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been thinking about it because, like you said, sometimes you just, as an investor, you just don't have the budget to do regular staging. And every $100 that you spend on the rehab, that's $100 that you don't make.
Getting shrinked. I want to do staging, but I can't always do it. Can I pay you some money to go with me to Home Goods and pick out items for, you know, and so I can buy a whole bathroom set and some kitchen sets? And you could do also like, a good stager will say, sure, you know, give me some money. We'll go over there. We'll buy a set. Then you buy one of those big plastic totes from Target or Walmart or whatever. And then you pack up, like, you know, because for you guys are usually in the same kind of color scheme, right? You kind of like, you know, whether a lot of times a lot of your properties are going to have grays
same
and
what,
yeah, same paint and stuff like that. So, you know, you buy a couple different color bedroom sets for a bathroom and kitchen, like accent pieces, and you can have, and then when that property is ready, you just go to, you take the tote from your house, bring it to there, and you have the wife or the stager or yourself set up these things in the bathrooms and kitchens. And I call that half staging. And I have a lot of real estate agents that they list properties for their investors where there's no budget for staging, but they'll virtually stage, and they'll do this half staging to the kitchen. You had your guys install the kitchen. You picked out, like you said, you picked out the colors, right? Well, I most rehabbers do a good job at picking out nice colors and making things pizzazz and boom and all that stuff. But the problem is that the buyer can't really see all those details that you did, right? You have to visually stimulate the buyer's eyes a little bit. So we use accent pieces on like the tile, behind the tile backsplash or on the granite countertops to help pull out those colors of those items. So that's why you see stagers use like reds and blues. And when you see the fake fruit in a kitchen and like they have like fake oranges and green apples, those colors are being used very specifically because they're there to help draw out the features of the kitchen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I choose a lot of very neutral colors, a lot of whites, grays. Mm-hmm. Honestly, kind of just whatever is in right now. That's what we most usually do. And this teacher that we've worked with, you know, she can usually pick out colors that are really gonna make those finishes pop.
Yeah. So by all those little details help out tremendously.
Awesome, man. You know, I just wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast. We're coming close to an hour here. I wanted to ask you, where can people find you, and you know, where can brokers and other investors find your information so they can hire you to do either pictures or videos, or kind of, or maybe other real estate organizations can reach out to you so you can come out and speak about helping, you know, agents market properly. Yeah.
So I have two websites. So my main website is agentredefined.com. And that website is where that's where my blog is at. That's where my podcast is at. And that's where I put all my marketing training, everything I talk about. I kind of write articles and make videos about all these subjects and put them out there for free for everybody. And then for the photo video work, I only work by referral with agents. And so I have a site that's just for the photo and video work, and that's same domain, but agentredefinedmedia.com. And that's where, now I kind of put all the photo work there so that I kind of hide it almost a little bit, because I only want certain realtors.
Is it because you got two?
But they know how to use their listings marketing to grow their business, so that if they can use what I have, these awesome visuals, if I can give them an edge in their marketing so that they can stand out more, then they have a better chance of becoming bigger themselves. And then those are the kind of agents I'm looking for.
Awesome, man. I'll put those links on the show notes. I just wanted to, you know, thank you for being on the podcast, and till next time, guys.
Yeah, thanks, George. That's a lot of really good information.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Awesome.
Hey, guys, this is Ricardo again. Before you head off, just a few more things. First off, just want to thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Second, for show notes and links, please head over to profitsoverwages.co. And on the next episode of the podcast, we sit down with real estate developer Arpan Patel and talk about buying, financing, and building a rental property portfolio. Lastly, please don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Not only do we read every single review, but positive reviews also help us reach more people. Until next time.